Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is with us now. He has a book called The Good Fight, Hard Lessons from Searchlight to Washington. He is from Searchlight, Nevada. Senator Reid, it's nice to have you back on the show. Good morning from New York.
Thank you very much for allowing me on again.
Have you spoken to Senator Clinton since Tuesday or have any knowledge of what's going on with her right now?
The answer is I have not spoken with her since the election on Tuesday night. And as far as my knowing what's going on, I try to stay out of her campaign and Obama's campaign.
Well, you've not endorsed anyone in these Democratic primaries, but in your view, for the good of the party, is this the time for Senator Clinton to quit the race?
That's a decision she's going to have to make. I've done my best to remain neutral, and I'm going to continue to be neutral in this race. I don't lament this long primary. I think it's been good for the country and good for the party. We have, for the first time in a generation in Nevada, we have tens of thousands of more Democrats and Republicans. In Pennsylvania, we have, for the first time in history, 4 million registered Democrats. It's never happened before. This primary has been good. Young people are involved. It's changed campaign spending laws without our passing a law because of the Internet. I'm very satisfied with the campaigns at this stage.
Her big argument, and she repeated it again just this morning, is still that superdelegates should see that she is more electable than Senator Obama. Do you have an opinion about that?
No, as I said, Brian, I'm going to stay out of that mix. I think that whoever comes back, I'm going to have looked them in the eye and say I have been neutral, and they will know that's the truth.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, my guest on WNYC. You unveiled a new energy package yesterday that would revoke $17 billion in tax breaks for big oil companies, as I understand it, and impose a 25% windfall profits tax if they don't invest in new energy sources. Does this also include the gasoline tax holiday that Senator Clinton wants to couple with a windfall profits tax?
No, we have six elements in our package, and one of them is not the holiday.
Is that a slap in the face to Senator Clinton, introducing an energy tax package right at this moment that does not adopt?
In the Republican caucus and the Senate, they don't all agree on the tax holiday, and certainly in the Democratic caucus, they don't all agree on the tax holiday. So everything I put in my package is things that Democrats all agree on.
What's your own view?
My own view is that I'm staying out of the presidential race, Brian. I've done pretty well to avoid that issue. I think that I'm going to continue to avoid it because all it does is put me in the Obama camp or the Clinton camp, and I just can't do that. I'm the father confessor, the psychologist, the credit counselor. I do everything for these senators, and I'm not going to get involved in taking sides in this race.
It's a good time in American history to be a credit counselor, but maybe not necessarily for U.S. senators. But I guess what you're telling me is there is not enough support in the Democratic majority in the Senate for a gas tax holiday to put it in the bill.
Yeah, that's true, and Republicans have concern in their caucus. We have concern in ours, and I put six things in there that we all agree on.
In your book, you write about the political strategy that the Republicans have used since the Reagan campaign in 1980 that you call a disastrous success, obviously from a Democratic perspective. What is that strategy?
That government is bad, and especially during the 7 years, 5 months Bush has been president, he's set out to prove that government's bad by making government bad. I believe that, take 9/11 as an example. At 9/11, we had a few places to look for help. Family, your God, that's very personal, and government. And I can only help with the government aspect of it. And I want government very responsive to the needs of the American people. I believe in government. The Bush contingent does not. That's why when he ran for Congress in the late 70s, he thought privatizing Social Security would be his number one issue. He still believes that. He does not believe in government programs.
He ran in 2000, originally as a, quote, compassionate conservative. And part of that was supposed to be that government is not all bad and government can do some positive things. And his biggest initiative around that idea was No Child Left Behind. So was Bush really Reagan in that respect?
Those talking points that he had when he was running for president, he obviously lost them somewhere on the way to the White House. because if there were ever a person who is not a compassionate conservative, it's George Bush.
Senator Obama talks about a new kind of politics that could reduce the political rancor of the Clinton-Gingrich generation. How much do you think that you are still living with that kind of rancor since the Democrats took control of both houses of Congress 2 years ago?
I think it's been very hard for the body politic to purge itself of the Gingrich style of government, cut and burn. And I think that we're trying to work our way through that. I think that we have to return to an era in Washington where we have bipartisanship. We have to return to an era in Washington where the President of the United States does not consider himself king, but rather president.
Is it possible? What would be the challenge for a president who talks new politics or not? Won't Republicans just try to smear and swift boat him if he's elected like they played permanent campaign hardball against President Clinton all those years?
No, I don't think we need to do that anymore. I think everyone has hopefully come to the realization that that doesn't work. Legislation, government, is the art of compromise. That's the thing that George Bush has failed to comprehend. His dad was very good. His dad was someone who was a consensus builder. This president is not.
And George Bush, 41, failed to get reelected. That was seen as a lesson for the conservatives that they needed to be pure.
Well, it's a sad commentary because George Bush, in my estimation, was the kind of person, well-qualified, great pedigree, who I think did an extremely good job of trying to work with people. Why he wasn't reelected, we can all go back and talk about that, but I don't think the reason he was not reelected is because he was a pragmatic man and willing to compromise.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is my guest on WNYC. He has a book called The Good Fight on how Democrats have to play politics. Haven't the Clintons been successful precisely because they stopped being namby-pamby Democrats and fought hard themselves, especially after Michael Dukakis failed to fight back against scurrilous charges in 1988 and they stuck anyway?
Bill Clinton taught a lot of people that if somebody slaps you in the side of the face, you just can't turn around and walk away. There's no one been better at defense than Bill Clinton. And I think we all learned a lesson from him. Bill Clinton is a masterful politician. Had he not had the Monica Lewinsky affair, he would go down as one of America's all-time great presidents. In my book, he did a very, very good job as the executive of our country.
So what's the new politics? Does it not include that?
I don't think it has to be all of one and nothing of the other. Of course, you want to make sure if you have a ball game or a political campaign, you have good defense, but you also have to have a good offense. And I think that's what we need to do is return to the days in Washington where you had Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan fighting during the day, having a drink at night, and talking about what they would do tomorrow to try to hold hands. That's what we're missing here in Washington today.
So are you going out with Mitch McConnell at night, and are you making the kind of compromises that you credited George Bush, 41, with?
I'm really trying. I think that I've done my very best. You know, I spent 6 years on the Senate floor there every minute of every day we were in session. The Republicans, I think, respected what I tried to do as being fair. I was the only person there all the time. I've tried to do that during my Democratic leadership, and I'm going to continue to do that. I know that if we can get things done, there's a lot of credit to go around to Democrats and Republicans. If we don't get things done, there's a lot of blame to go around to Democrats and Republicans.
You have the war funding bill coming up, and I gather one of the provisions in the Democratic version is to ban all interrogation techniques that are not in the Army Field Manual. Does that mean ban them for the CIA?
I hope so. We have learned from the experts that waterboarding doesn't work, that the information is not reliable. The FBI, the CIA, they've told us that. I think that we should put that into law. I don't think our great country benefits by condoning torture.
Senator McCain has the reputation of being outspoken against torture, including waterboarding. Is he supporting your field manual standard?
No, that's something that has been distressing to all of us. He believes that you should not be able to torture in the military, but he believes the CIA should be able to torture. I think that a basic course in fairness and logic would not make that a very good lesson. You can't torture in the military and not torture for the people who, you know, the CIA, you know, they have military operations going on around the world. We cannot have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other. And I think America does not benefit by the reputation of torturing people. We've never had done that before. In fact, it's been just the opposite. We put people to death for torturing our folks in previous wars.
So you think McCain's record is more accepting of torture than his reputation?
Well, all I know is we had a vote on having this put in the CIA documents, and he voted against it.
Your book is called The Good Fight. What's The Good Fight?
The good fight is to always try to do your best, not run from a fight, but also make sure that when you do have that fight, it's a fair fight. That's what a good fight's all about.
You've got a fight going on within the Democratic Party now. I had a number of Clinton supporter callers yesterday who said she should not drop out until Michigan and Florida are resolved because that's such a travesty of disenfranchisement. What's your position on that issue?
Of course, Michigan and Florida delegates will be seated. Michigan and Florida were trying to get the jump on Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina. They were trying to jimmy the system. And the DNC did the right thing by saying you can't do that. Now, the delegates are going to be seated, and that's pretty clear. And your listeners should understand that the 2025 number that has been enumerated to take care of the next Democratic nominee does not include Michigan and Florida. So I think it's at this stage, everyone understands that. We know there's not going to be an election in Michigan. There's not going to be an election in Florida. That time has passed.
Senator Reid? Did we lose Senator Reid? I thought, okay, he's gone. We were supposed to have Senator Reid for precisely three more minutes before he went on to his next interview, but I guess he has been electronically removed from us by his staff. So we thank Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. His new book is called The Good Fight, Hard Lessons from Searchlight to Washington. Coming up in a minute, how to make travel with children this summer a real vacation and not just a change of venue. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is back with us for one more minute to finish up his interview in his allotted slot here. Senator, thanks for coming on for this minute. And what I want to finish up with is our previous guest, Marie Coco, said she's really worried about all these disaffected Clinton supporters coming back in November, assuming Obama will be the nominee. What's the path to getting them back, in your opinion?
In the primary, as soon as this is over, everyone will hold hands and march down to victory. This is a unique election.
How?
First time in history we've had a woman, first time an African-American who's a viable candidate. I think that we're going to, it just happens. We have a common problem, and that's John McCain, a person who's wrong on the war, he's wrong on the economy, and doesn't have the temperament to be president of the United States. Clinton and Obama supporters are going to join together.
Senator Reid, thanks a lot again for coming
You're
on
welcome.
With us.